Hello, friends. It's me again, your old pal, D. Trussell. I love my job, and I love my job because I get to have conversations like the one you're about to get to listen to. I don't even know how this happened necessarily. Why do I get to spend almost an hour chatting with one of the most legendary surfers of all time, Garrett McNamara? I'll tell you why. He's plugging his show, 100 Foot Wave Season 3. And if you haven't watched this on HBO Max, just stop the podcast and go watch. You will shit your pants. It's insane. It's the craziest sport out there outside of pickleball. It's amazing. These people are, I don't know what you call them, superheroes, titans, merfolk. These waves are the kind of waves that for millennia people have looked at and never once thought, boy, I should get a board and go shooting down the side of that like I'm the prince of the sea. These people do this as a job. And what's beautiful about 100 Foot Wave is that it's more than just some kind of like sports doc. Like, it's a spiritual exploration of connecting with the earth and what it's like to have one of the wildest jobs of all time. We hit a lot of great points during this conversation. And yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to become a big wave surfer. In fact, after this episode, I'm headed off to Jaws, which I've heard is a place where there's big waves, a big wave. And yeah, I'm not even gonna use a jet ski. I'm just gonna paddle out there and surf that baby. I'm inspired. So please watch 100 Foot Wave. It's definitely worth your time. It's HBO. Everything they make is awesome. I love you. Was this a clumsy intro? Oh, also, if you want commercial-free episodes, don't forget to become a member. And you could also subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/DTFH. Now, everybody, legend of the sea, Garrett McNamara. Garrett, oh my God, welcome to the DTFH. I can't believe I get to meet you even in 2D. It's mind-blowing. How are you? Where are you right now?
We're in Hawaii. We're getting ready for our pilgrimage to Nazare for the premiere in May 22nd.
Woo! You know how HBO showing shows, like, I don't know which season of your show I was watching, but I just got lucky. I was laid up in a hotel room, got sick. I don't know if you ever do that when you got a bunch of kids around, don't want to infect them. So I'm just in it. The show pops up. I was going to watch it anyway. But I don't mean to start our lifelong friendship in a vulgar way, but, I felt like I was going to shit my pants watching what you do. It is the most terrifying thing that I'm aware of. You know, the only thing that I can think of that even comes close to it is free climbing, what Alex Honnold does.
Wow. I think that's way heavier.
Of course you do. You think that's way heavier, but that's you. Everybody else, it's the same. It's different, obviously, but as far as the most insane job on earth to have, there's free climbing and big wave surfing, and then maybe, I'm sure there's some others. I gotta know, it's a weird beginning of the interview. Do you ever find yourself floating out there thinking, what have I done? Why am I about to do this again?
I didn't used to. I always just enjoyed it so much, so it was just fun. Since my injury in 2007? Yeah, 2007. No, 2016. Since my injury in 2016, it's definitely took a toll on my ability to have fun on the giant waves. And
Yeah, and let me just, so I don't seem like the, Garrett, so I don't seem like the worst interviewer on earth. I did know that you weren't doing that anymore. And I guess because of your show, when I said you, I meant the collective of maniacs around you that continues.
Well, I'm still out there.
Okay.
I'm still riding waves. Last year, or this winter, was the most I've surfed since 2016.
Awesome.
There wasn't a lot of giant days, but there was a lot of fun days. And then in season three, we go to Cortez Banks, where I get a few waves. We go to outside pipeline called Log Cabins, get a few waves. Yeah, but definitely not as comfortable as I used to be.
Right. Well, I mean, the fact that at some point you were comfortable speaks to the personality type of you and your brethren who engage in this activity, which is beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I think I failed to mention that something about the joining together of humanity and the ocean and life produces this beautiful possibility. It gives you a sense of this visual depiction of harmonizing with the earth and a sense of, my God, if we could do that, we could do anything, everything. But the other thought that occurred to me is that people who ride these giant waves are outsiders in the most extreme way. Because I was thinking, if I did that, other than my friends who'd experienced that, who do I relate to? And I was wondering, how do you relate to normies like me? How do you relate to landlocked pussies who haven't done that? Or do you not even try?
We all have our comfort zones, and we all have our strengths and our qualities. And a lot of it crossover. There's a lot of crossover in normal life and big wave surfing. And I think everybody has their own 100-foot wave. Everybody has their own challenges or their own thing that they love doing more than anything. And it's a balance, and it's a dance with your mother nature and with your life. And if we can do it gracefully and in a good way, in harmony with mother nature, in harmony with our friends and humanity, and that's beautiful.
It's extraordinary. I'm a stand-up comic, but I don't need a jet ski to pull me on stage. But and you do, and so this is another part of your series that I found fascinating. The whole thing's just riveting. But I realized that there is this entire group of people who don't get the credit it seems like they should get. And I thought it was really cool that y'all give them the credit, which is the jet ski operators. You know, before I was watching your series, of course I would watch people riding these massive waves just for the thrill of watching it. But never once did I think about the jet ski operators and what an incredibly dangerous job that is. And I was wondering, is that more dangerous? Is it more dangerous to operate the jet ski than to surf those waves?
Well, when things go wrong when you're on a jet ski, it's much more dangerous because that big machine, and you don't know when it's going to happen. It happens without any warning. So something can go wrong with the ski, or you don't time it right, and the wave catches you, and all of a sudden it's a yard sale, and the jet ski's flying one way, you're flying another way, and hopefully you're not hitting the jet ski. The pilot is your lifeline, and he is your best friend, hopefully, and you work as a team, a well-oiled machine. Like, you can just communicate with your eyes and some small hand signals if everything's running really well, and you know what each other's desires are, and know how each other wants to enter the waves. And but then it can be challenging as well. It's like a marriage, kind of. You see, there's a lot of challenges with a partner. But yeah, the answer is it's very dangerous if things go wrong. Much more dangerous, actually, because you have that big machine. And then you have the rope connected to the machine that can wrap around you.
Oh, terrifying. You're looking at me and you're probably thinking, like, you look like a professional surfer. You have the eye of the ocean, and you seem like you probably want to invite me to be a big wave surfer. I'm just to save you the embarrassment, I can't right now. I'm too busy podcasting. But
well, we'll take you out. Come to Nazareth. We'll get you on the jet ski. You can come. We can tow Cotty in, and you can be on the back with me.
I tell you what, if you can convince my wife to let me do that, I'll be there. But good luck.
Well, it sounds like your 100-foot wave probably back in the day was going on stage and trying to see if you could actually make people laugh.
100%. Well, they, of course, like as you're trying to connect to something that is so far away from your life, you do try to. I did try to make that connection. I was thinking, like, when I go to see my much more successful comedian friends in arenas, that's my 100-foot wave. I look at that as like, but there was a time when 20 people was a 100-foot wave, and then it began to feel normal, and then bigger crowds, et cetera. But yeah, I guess we all have our 100-foot wave, and that's sweet, and thank you for that. But you have actual waves, and that's different. That's different. And I wanted to know, and forgive me if this is woo-woo-y or weird, but I was wondering, okay, so with stand-up, there's things that you see if you've ever seen a stand-up comic, and then there's things you wouldn't know unless you were a comic. Like, there's a feeling up there that is very difficult to explain other than a sense of connection that goes beyond what seems like what's happening. For example, you know you're bombing even before you start bombing. You can feel the attention of the audience, just like a bubble popping or something, and it's the worst feeling ever. But I was wondering, is there something that you experience out there that maybe doesn't show up on camera? Is there something magical or maybe paranormal even that doesn't make sense or might not make sense based on the way we understand athleticism or surfing? Even
the bombing aspect, there was a contest that I was in at Jaws, and it was like 50, 60, 70 feet, the biggest waves competed in, and it had the largest purse up to that to date. And I first wave I entered, and I was so scared that I kicked out, and I saw thousands of people on the cliff, and all I was thinking is, I just,
you knew
that all of these people, it was that bombing that you explained. It was that feeling. The other feeling when you're out, just getting on my board and paddling out and seeing perfect waves at sunset, I just get this special connection, this feeling, this euphoric feeling. I have so much gratitude. I just feel so blessed and so lucky, and I'm just saying thank you, God, or thank you, whatever's up there. I just give so much gratitude. And the feeling on the wave, it can be, you know, it depends on the wave. Some waves can be frustrating, and some waves can be really challenging, then other waves can be the best experience of your life. I mean, the barrel I had at Jaws in 2003 was the best experience I've ever had in surfing still to date. And it was just like, I'd been focusing on getting barreled for like 10 years on a 20-foot wave, and it hadn't happened. And then Uncle Dan Kiloha is towing me into this wave, and he lets me go in the perfect spot. It's my first giant perfect wave that I think I could probably pull into. And I get to the bottom, and instead of running, because when you're towing, you can run to the shoulder and ride it pretty safely, or you can, for lack of a better word, taunt it and go deeper. And so I faded back, and then I turned, and right as the lip was coming over, it hit me, but just kind of brushed me, like kind of kissed me. So then I'm going into the barrel, and now I'm blind, and I'm riding through the barrel thinking I'm going to make it. Even though I couldn't see, I'm making it. And then all of a sudden it started sucking me up, and I'm going up the face, and it starts sucking back. I can feel this backdraft sucking back. And then all of a sudden, from right when I feel like I'm about to fall, I feel this hurricane force wind, like it's called the spit, like a fire hose just comes from behind. And right as I'm falling, It picks me up. Oh, wow. And luckily I had the strap, so I'm strapped to the board. My feet are stuck on the board, and I'm in the air, and I come flying out of the barrel, land, and then I open my eyes, and I look up, and I'm like, oh, my God, thank you, God. It was the most spiritual, endorphin, dopamine, you name it. It was just, it brought me to tears. The most beautiful moment I've ever had in surfing.
Wow.
Most feelings.
Oh. Yeah.
Exploring the multiverse can get pretty wild, but smelling fresh should be simple. Mando Whole Body Deodorant is created by a doctor and blocks odor all day, even for up to 72 hours. Choose from scents like bourbon leather or Mount Fuji, and try the solid stick powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. All products are baking soda and paraben free, so you can focus on your next adventure. Not Your Bio Mando starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code. Use code SENT at shopmando.com for 20% off and free shipping. That's shopmando.com with code SCENT. Mando's got you covered. Protect your pits. Smell great doing it.
That is so wild. And the descriptions that you have for this experience are referring to these waves as though they're alive. You're taunting it. It's kissing you. It's like, do you get that sense? I just, when my hairy ass goes floating out in the sea, it's not that hard to feel like I'm being held in something that's more than just water, that there's a kind of sentience there, a kind of some awareness of itself. I mean, not like we are aware of it, but something big and more alive, not just some physical reaction or something, like a real sense of connection.
They're all like different animals, like monsters. I definitely... The word I chose, taunting, I would never taunt a wave. I just use that word for lack of a better one. But my goal on every wave is to compliment the wave and dance with Mother Nature and not ever conquer.
Right. Well, you're going to lose. I mean, if you try to get in a fight with
sooner
a wave.
Sooner or later, she'll slap me down.
Yeah. Yeah. And so as I was watching footage of your incredible life and your incredible work, of course, all of the insane waves that you have.
I'm not sorry, so much.
All the insane waves that you've ridden. Of course, there's the famous wipeout, which is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life. You, I guess, dislocated your shoulder. You went under the wave. And I was, now that you've given this incredible description of riding one of these beings, what is it like when one of them decides to eat you?
You know, that's when the underwater ride starts. And for me, it was always more fun because you have no control. You don't know what's going to happen. You're doing your best to relax. You're doing your best to keep your limbs, your arms in and your legs tucked up and hold on to your life jacket. And you're doing your best to enjoy it. If you're under getting pounded and getting beat and actually enjoying it and relaxing, it's really fun. And it's a rush every time because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. When you're making waves, it's like, okay, I made another wave. If you get a barrel like the barrel I got, that's a whole nother story. That's super special and rare. But when you're just making waves, it just seemed, okay, made another wave. But when you're underwater getting pounded, you have no control and you're at the mercy of the ocean. You're like you feel like a grain of sand that's in a washing machine on spin cycle. And then you got King Kong grabs the washing machine, starts shaking it up and down. And then you got Tyson punching you.
Fun. So fun. Not to brag, I can body surf. And I went to Kauai and just like an asshole tourist went plodding out there into the Hawaiian waves with the hubris of that only like a true fool can have. You know, I body surfed off the coast of Georgia. I can body surf these waves in Kauai. And I had that experience. I got
Were you in Luma, was it Luma High?
I don't even know where. That's what it, I'm sorry. I
was it river mouth?
It was I don't know. It was a great wave. It was I shouldn't have been in the water. I remember me and my friends being like, we probably shouldn't be out here. And I remember the immediately getting like spanked by the ocean, like, what are you doing? And that was not fun. The way you're describing it is fun. I just remember being rolled and thinking like, I'm not sure I'm going to come up. Like, do you necessarily come up every time? Cause it doesn't feel like it's going to let me go. And I'm getting beaten too, smashed onto the like sand everywhere. And
every orifice, sand in every orifice.
Sand in every orifice. That's the name of my autobiography, by the way. So, what's it like when you're home? You haven't just filmed like you haven't just been on like the greatest wave of your life, but it's in 4K. Hundreds of people have filmed this. People have watched you have an experience that you're describing is incredibly rare for a surfer, and obviously incredibly rare even for surfers because there's other people involved in this. You've got to get towed out. So you go home. Is it a come down? Do you crash? What's it like at the end of the day after having one of the most extraordinary experiences maybe available to a human being on the planet?
It is definitely a roller coaster. You can be having the best day of your life in the ocean and getting the best ride you've ever had, and then in 1 second somebody cuts you off or does something that makes you mad. All of a sudden you're just down in the depths and want to kill somebody. And the highs and lows that we experience are overwhelming. And it's definitely something that we process and we go through and we work on being in the 10-second barrel all day, every day. Work on having fun no matter what we're doing. But it is super challenging when you have that experience and then you go back home and you're in normal life and you're looking for that next swell or that next rush or that next wave. And Kent Ewing, he's a healer in I think Dana Point, somewhere around San Clemente. He said the goal in life is to be in the 10-second barrel all day, every day. Everything we do, show up happy, show up high vibration, show up having fun, and really embody that feeling of that incredible moment that you had in the ocean and bring it wherever you go. I'm not saying I'm good at it, but I'm definitely working on it. I'm getting really good at it. And it's all about just having that high vibration, that positive energy. Whenever you show up, what are you going to bring to the situation? What are you going to bring to the room? What are you going to bring to your children? What are you going to bring to the office? Right. Are you going to bring this amazing, happy, vibrating, just high frequency, high energy that's just contagious that everybody wants a piece of? Or are you going to bring that that everybody wants to run away from?
Right. Okay. So this was something for not knowing exactly which season I was watching. I'm assuming it's the previous season. But one thing I was super impressed with, man, is in almost every shot, you got a baby on your arm. And I'm a dad. I got 3 kids. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. And I also thought it must be And some other surfers on the show seem to be contending with this reality, which is when you don't have kids, getting towed out on a big wave that could potentially end your life, it's still probably scary, but the stakes are different. When you got kids, it adds a whole new dynamic to this job. And it seems like a lot of people on your team have to deal with the psychology of parenting and being a big wave surfer. What are your thoughts on that? Is there a point where you have to give up things like that for the bigger picture for your children?
You know, everybody has different ways of feeling and processing things and dealing with things. I think for my childhood, there was a lot of very unconventional, crazy situations that I was in. For lack of a better word, people would call it a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
I think I stuffed a lot of that stuff down, and I stuff a lot of my feelings down, and I just kind of operate on a moving forward, kind of like a robot, and without feeling that much. And that might be why I was drawn to big waves so much, just so I could feel. And with the children, before I had kids, I didn't have a problem dying riding big waves, because it was what I loved doing more than anything. And if I died doing what I loved, I was happy. Once I had children, I told myself I would never die surfing. I'll always prepare and always be ready. And if I'm not prepared and not ready, I won't go out. And so that's been challenging for me since the injury, because I haven't really gotten back to 100%, and I don't feel really like I've prepared enough for riding giant waves. And so I'm really, really selective, really patient, really don't have to ride every wave anymore, don't even have to surf another big wave. Honestly, I feel like I'd never have to surf another wave in my life. I've surfed so many waves, had so much fun, and I just want to be there for my wife, and I just want to be there for my children. And then I'll go back in the water and I'll go, how could I ever think that? But on the land, I'm super content, super happy, and I'm riding a 100-foot wave. I can go plant some papayas or go plant some tomatoes. I'm so happy. I can go build a table.
Yeah.
I can do all these, play with the kids, cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
So content, so happy. So on riding the 10-second barrel all day in all my actions. If I'm living perfect Garrett showing up, that's what's going on. And definitely challenging. I think I kind of come to the conclusion that I was drawn to big waves for the feelings, to feel more.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something, Krakauer has got this incredible book about people who climb Everest, and it's similar description, which is that you really, like, there's no way to feel that. You can't feel that. Maybe you would want to trick yourself into thinking you can feel that, but you really can't feel that except in doing these extreme sports, that something opens up, a view of reality opens up that isn't accessible when you are building tables, doing podcasts, planting papayas. What is that view of reality that you're experiencing out there, as opposed to the householder life? What is that view? What is this glimpse of something that you're catching?
Well, you got me stumped there. You know, I think that the world right now, we're living in such a challenging time because everything is disconnecting us from our feelings.
Yeah.
And this starts at school. And then we got these computers and these phones and these distractions that, and then we got all this capitalism and all this greed and all this, we're living in this really distorted reality right now. And the only thing that's really important is family and friends and good food and all of these things that help us go faster and do more. And they're taking from our lives. It's just this really, really challenging time. I think I probably went off topic, but
no, it's on topic. It's perfect.
Okay. Yeah. It's a crazy time we're living in, and I really want to disconnect. We're going to move back up to Italy this winter in September, and we're in the middle of nowhere on this mountain with a few homes and a small school, an outdoor school with organic everything, free range organic. We live in a 500-year-old biodiverse organic village.
Wow.
There's no Wi-Fi. There's no EMF. I'm so excited to go back. It's like people are like, why did you go to Italy? How you're away from the ocean. I love it up there. It's like kind of I think it's my happy place.
Well, you know, it's so.
But the good thing about it is close to Nazareth, close to Ireland, close to France, close to Spain, and close to Morocco. The five places that I'm keeping my eyes on for good waves.
And an American Pope. Don't forget that. Now you got an American Pope.
Yeah, baby.
Woo!
Exploring the multiverse can get pretty wild, but smelling fresh should be simple. Mando Whole Body Deodorant is created by a doctor and blocks odor all day, even for up to 72 hours. Choose from scents like bourbon leather or Mount Fuji, and try the solid stick powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. All products are baking soda and paraben free, so you can focus on your next adventure. Not Your Bio Mando starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code. Use code SENT at shopmando.com for 20% off and free shipping. That's shopmando.com with code SCENT. Mando's got you covered. Protect your pits. Smell great doing it.
But it's crazy you mentioned that disconnecting. It's funny we call it disconnecting, by the way. That's how nuts everything is turning your phone off is disconnecting. It's like, yeah, what are you disconnecting from? Satan. But
the matrix,
man. But
it's real. It's so real. It's so weird. If you watch the Matrix with and kind of it's here, it's now.
Yeah, for sure.
All those things are plugged into all the people. That's the phones.
Yeah, and it's almost annoying that those movies exist, because just by saying it's like the Matrix, you underemphasize the reality that it sadly is like that. We're becoming the Borg. We have, you know, and it's ironic that I'm saying this in relation to your show, which is like me sitting in my hotel on my bed eating chips watching people harmonize with nature. But this is sort of the sad effect of being able to observe so many different people doing cool things in 2D on your phone, is it almost tricks your brain into thinking you're doing that, you're there, that's you too, when you couldn't be further away. But that strangely, after watching your show, I started thinking, I got to turn my phone off. And it's funny that you mentioned that. It's almost like that part of you comes through accidentally. It felt like it was inviting me to reconnect with whatever that is and turn down the volume on this Matrix shit.
I am so proud, grateful, and honored that you're sharing that right now. I'm hoping our dream is that this reaches people and inspires people, and we get inspired by people like you. We're always inspired by amazing people in amazing situations, And we're hope the only reason that we did this show was to hopefully inspire people. And we didn't know how it was going to inspire people. We didn't know our life was going to be very interesting. We don't even know how we got a season three. We're like, wait, we got one. Season one was just incredible because it's 10 years of archive. Season two, we're like, oh my God, they actually did it. It's just as good as one somehow. And then season three, we're like, what the hell? Our life is not that interesting. What are they going to come up with? And it's actually feels like season three is better than two. That's like, and then if people like you are sharing that, then we are on the moon and so happy that everything is working.
Wow, cool. Yeah, because that was, you know, one, I think we're all turned off now by corrective anything on TV. And there wasn't a moment where anybody's like, you should turn off your phone and rejoin the ocean. It wasn't that at all. It's watching this like completely alternate way that people are existing. And everyone in your show, I love the way that your show deals with conflict too. It's not the like, I don't know, garish, you know, reality TV stuff. It's this really heartfelt way these people are working through. The episode I saw, famous surfer did not trust her jet ski operator. Maybe you can tune me into where
Justine.
I was.
Justine.
And also Justine gets cut off right at Jaws, right? They go out to Jaws. I think they flew there. A big swell at Jaws. And just gets cut off. And
gets kind of a concussion. I think she got a concussion. And she had a helmet on.
And I'm pissed. Like, you're watching it. You're like, hell yes. This is, and then some asshole just fucks her life up.
Takes her out.
And so infuriating. And I know nothing about surfing. I don't know if that person's an asshole. The person maybe didn't do anything wrong. I don't know. But Justine's reaction to that was not what my reaction would have been, which is just some kind of hot, impotent rage. She seemed so sort of honestly sad about it, but more wondering, like, why am I having bad luck right now? Didn't even mention that guy. Was that an egregious move that person did, or was that just an accident?
That was, and it was definitely an accident. He didn't mean to. But Justine, after you sharing that, I've came to realize that she's listening to the signs and she's trying to make sense of what is happening and why, rather than blaming. And she's taking responsibility for where she is and what she's doing and what has just happened, even though maybe it wasn't her fault. And she's looking for the signs of why are these things happening, so she can work through it and do things better or in a better way. I didn't realize that she was that in tune with everything until now that you're sharing this. And thank you for bringing that to light. Sure. I'm going to talk with her more about that because it's really interesting to me.
Is that something that's common in the surfer world, is like listening to the signs, not looking at things as disconnected events, but seeing if there's like a message is being articulated via circumstance?
Everybody's so different. And if you're really in touch with your feelings and you're in touch with reality and taking responsibility for wherever you are and whatever you're doing and whatever is happening, rather than trying to blame. And there are a lot. Lucas seems to listen to the signs, you know, when he goes through that with Marcio. And then, it seems like, you know, it's tough because you're trying to put food on the table. You're doing what you love. Then you have, you know, all the things that you got to deal with on the land. It seems like we're more comfortable in the ocean. We don't have all these things going on that we have on the land. So when we're in the ocean, we're just free and carefree and just loving life. And you know, that's our true self showing up in the ocean.
Have you ever heard of the Lojong mind training?
No, but it sounds amazing.
It sounds so cool. And it is cool for once. It sounds cool. It is cool. The Lojong mind training, it's this set of Buddhist slogans designed to get you into the moment. And my favorite of them all, and one that I constantly remind myself of, is drive all blames into oneself. So you always to blame, even like no matter what, there's just no way out of that one. Drive all blames into oneself. And what it does is it centers you. You know, the moment you're trying to find, oh, this is this person's fault or that person's fault. No, always, wherever you are, you got yourself there. It sounds dismal, I guess, to people out there who want to blame people. But when you're done with that part of your life, it's quite useful to remind yourself of that. And yet sometimes things seem very out of your control. Sometimes, I mean, is it the dinosaurs' fault? They got smashed by a meteor. I don't think dinosaurs are Brutus, but the point is, it's a nice antidote to what seems to be fairly common out there right now, is blaming other people.
When it gets you, the cocoon?
Yeah.
What do you, thank you very much or whatever?
Yeah.
No, what is
this? Thank you very much.
You sure?
Yeah.
You know, there's in Kabbalah, we've been reading up on that a little bit, and the cocoon. So whenever anything happens, you just say, thank you very much, and keep going.
You sound like my dominatrix.
Instead of blaming.
Yes.
Similar to what you're sharing.
Absolutely. And you know, I imagine that, you know, surfing, you can't argue with a wave. Like, well, what are you going to say? You're doing this wrong. This wave is completely incorrect. Look at this wave. The wave is a failure of a wave. This brings me to a weird question from a complete non-surfer. But I realize I use surfing as an analogy way too much for someone who doesn't know how to surf. Theoretically, are all waves surfable?
Yes, you can surf them. Yeah, theoretically, they're all surfable. Some are going to be a lot more challenging than others. And once it gets to a certain size, it's pretty much impossible to paddle into them. There's a small chance you could still paddle into waves of any size if you're just in the exact right spot at the right time. But they're moving so much faster once they get so big that the bigger boards won't go fast enough to make the wave. You might be able to catch it, but you probably wouldn't be able to make it. Yeah, and then you have different types of waves form from different things, like the glacier waves were formed from water displacement. And then you have river waves that are formed from a little bump in the bottom of the river that causes an eddy. And then we got you got Waimea River mouth wave, which is caused from water coming out so fast and a little water coming in. There's all different types of waves, and they're all surfable. There's probably some that are not surfable because of the amount of water that's coming out, the force and the speed that you couldn't quite ride it. But maybe with the right equipment.
Exploring the multiverse can get pretty wild, but smelling fresh should be simple. Mando Whole Body Deodorant is created by a doctor and blocks odor all day, even for up to 72 hours. Choose from scents like bourbon leather or Mount Fuji, and try the solid stick powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. All products are baking soda and paraben free, so you can focus on your next adventure. Not Your Bio Mando starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code. Use code SENT at shopmando.com for 20% off and free shipping. That's shopmando.com with code SCENT. Mando's got you covered. Protect your pits. Smell great doing it.
So Escape from New York is bullshit when he surfs out on the... I'm sorry. I don't know if you saw that, but a dude...
What was it?
I'm sorry for everyone listening. I'm sorry. Escape from New York, Did you remember Escape from New York? I think he escapes from New York by surfing a tsunami wave out of New York. It's so dumb, and I'm sorry.
Well, tsunami waves are surfable.
That's what I was afraid to ask you.
I've surfed one.
You've surfed a tsunami wave. See, I don't know.
Well, actually, a tsunami is for Japan, and in the United States, it's called a tidal wave.
You've surfed. Did you know it was a tsunami wave?
We were in Mexico, and the tidal wave alert went off, and everybody's freaking out, and I grabbed my board, and I paddled. You were there, right?
Yes, I was there. We're eating lunch on the beach. Like, our table is actually on the beach. And all of a sudden, the whole ocean sucks out.
And I paddled.
Like, just straight, like, from one of those movies where it just goes all the way out. And then you see, like, the dumb people who are, like, walking. Oh, this is cool. And the people are, like, walking out, and the whole thing is sucking. And Garrett runs and grabs his stand-up paddleboard.
Paddled out as far as I could.
And he's like running down the beach with his board. And
were people warning you? Were people like, no, tsunami, no, don't surf, no.
The tsunami was like this.
You didn't know that at the time. You didn't know what it would be. That's the great. And also that big it's a tsunami. You go up high. Everyone's running the other direction. Wow. So yeah.
It was in Sayulita, right?
Yeah.
Sayulita. But I think in front of the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there any other surfers out there? Did you see anybody else?
Just a bunch of fish flopping on the reef.
Yeah.
They're warning you. No, don't do this.
I was hoping a bigger wave would come, but
well,
I actually tried to surf one. We set everything up on the Big Island of Hawaii, had all the jet skis. We were going to put the jet skis out at the buoys, and we were going to go out to the skis and then ride the tidal wave that was coming. And I, for some reason, didn't. I think we were even going to the airport, already getting ready to go, and for some reason, we pulled the plug, and it ended up just being a small little ripple again, so it was good that I didn't go.
Okay, so this is the other thing that I found fascinating that I learned from watching your show. And I was vaguely aware of this, but what y'all do is futuristic in the sense that impossible, when did it start? You can't do what you're doing without having the ability to travel all over the world, having the ability to predict where the big waves are, having jet skis and having next level surfboards designed for this insane activity. So weirdly, what you're doing is sort of Blade Runner. It is sort of futuristic when you're thinking of all the technology involved to get you out there on those big waves.
You know, it's crazy. Mercedes actually came to us in 2012 and said, we want to work with you. And I don't know if you know, Garrett, but they actually drove all the way to Nazaré, brought their computer, had their presentation, and said, I don't know if you know, Mercedes logo is air, land, and sea. And we don't do much in the sea anymore, wow. So we want to go to the sea with you. And we don't want to just sit on the cliff in the car. We want to build you the ultimate surfboard so you can survive and come home to your family. And we're still riding a version of that. Most people that are surfing Nazaré are riding a version of that board.
A Mercedes surfboard?
And they had this fun, craziest campaign on the wall with this futuristic board with engines, with jet packs, with just all this crazy, amazing. It was incredible.
Well, I did. Yeah, I saw
7 foot tall German guys running around. We're going to build a surfboard. We're going to build a surfboard.
What an insane life you have, friend. Insane. All of these stories are like a fever dream. It's something if I would wake up from, like, what did I eat? I'm curious about this.
It was a Blade Runner situation. And you're right. The traveling to Tahiti, you have to have everything set up. And so back in the day, I would have my team, my family, basically, in each country. I had one in Chile, Australia, Tahiti, Fiji, You name it, wherever, Japan, wherever we were going to go, wherever we saw low pressure systems going, we would get everything set up. And as soon as we saw the low pressure going towards that location, you get on the plane at the last minute because the storms change. So you want to wait all the way to the last minute, fly in front of the storm, have everything set up, make sure our boards are on the plane, make sure we have extra boards just in case. And, it was very fun, but very challenging. You have to have it. It's very expensive.
Yeah, it's very expensive, and you can't lean into anything. Like, you don't know what you're doing next week. The life is not. That's another way that you're completely an outsider compared to other people. How do you plant those papayas? How do you plan your next week if you don't know if you're going to be at your house or if you're going to be riding a monster in some distant shore? That seems like a mind fuck.
And you don't know when it's going to come. And sometimes it takes 10 years for the swell of swells to appear. And sometimes that would be on Christmas or a birthday or a holiday. Those all took second to the storms for me for most of my life, most of my surfing career.
Exploring the multiverse can get pretty wild, but smelling fresh should be simple. Mando Whole Body Deodorant is created by a doctor and blocks odor all day, even for up to 72 hours. Choose from scents like bourbon leather or Mount Fuji, and try the solid stick powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. All products are baking soda and paraben free, so you can focus on your next adventure. Not Your Bio Mando starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code. Use code SCENT at shopmando.com for 20% off and free shipping. That's shopmando.com with code SCENT. Mando's got you covered. Protect your pits. Smell great doing it.
You know about Krishna and the gopis?
Yeah. What was it? I don't. Sorry.
Krishna, the blue skin.
Oh, Krishna. Yes.
Goes into the forest and plays his flute. The gopis, they're the mothers. They're householders. They hear the flute. They leave their lanterns burning to go out into the forest to dance with God. There's no thought of anything else other than this. And that, to me, seems like an anomalous way of existing in the world. And you are so lucky to have this wife, is this soulmate situation happening here, because I don't know if a lot of people, that must be something you're saying thank God to a lot when you're out there on the water, because, you know, maintaining a stable marriage and such a precarious and strange environment seems challenging.
Well, before kids, we went everywhere together, and I was in heaven because everything was set. Made sure I had all the right food. Everything was taken care of. The tickets, everything was. She set up everything.
I still do that.
Yeah, but you don't come with me everywhere.
My wife does that for everything too. I'm so lucky.
Oh, I'm so lucky. In the beginning, we got, you know, our relationship, she started taking over everything and doing everything. And I was like, wow, this is so nice. And then I thought to myself, oh my God, if this goes sideways, I'm going to be lost.
Same. We're doomed. You're not doomed. I hope you get a million seasons of this show. I can't wait. I've got to go back to season one and start from the beginning. But it is not a mystery to me why you got season three. It's one of the most beautiful, riveting series I've ever seen. And thank you so much for making it. Like, we're so lucky to even get to witness you maniacs, surf saints out there doing this. It's a beautiful thing to watch. And is there anything we should be looking forward to in season three? Because HBO does that. They edge you out, man. They don't let you binge watch it. It's like once a week. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, we know how that is. Well, first of all, yeah, none of it would be possible without my wife. She's the one who kind of wrote the script for the beginning of the show. But then Joe Lewis, and then he brought in Chris Smith, who brought in Topic, who brought in HBO. And we have the dream team. The powerhouse women at HBO are second to none. The whole team, we have a 10. Everybody's high vibration, top of their game. For season three, you know, we go exploring. We go to a few other spots. We go to Cortez Banks in next episode. We go to Morocco.
Cool.
And then we surf a bit in Hawaii during the eddy.
I can't wait. God be with you. The next time I'm body surfing in the gentle, warm tides of coastal Georgia, I'll pretend I'm on a big wave. And thank you so much. And thanks for giving me your time. It's a real honor to meet you. Thanks so much,
Kurt. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Pleasure.
Bye. Thank you. That was Garrett McNamara, everybody. 100 Foot Wave Season 3, HBO Max. I love you, and I'll see you next week. Until then, Hare Krishna.